So, hi, my name's Nicole. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. That's where my identity is. And I struggle with anxiety, codependency, and grieving a lot of losses. So you may want to know more about Celebrate Recovery, but before we give you the lowdown, we have a brave volunteer who's going to share her amazing story of what God did for her when she participated in a ladies' 25-week step study group. That was from November 2021 to June 2022. This is her first time to share in a large group, and so we ask for your grace and your encouragement as she shares her testimony, and please give Michelin a warm welcome.
That's better. I took those shoes off. I don't wear heels very often. Anyways, I'm Michelin. I've been lived this town for 35 years, and I became a Christian in April of 2002, and got baptized then too. Celebrate Recovery was a life-saving thing for me. I think I told you my name, Michelin, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And I do struggle with some things that I had to struggle with and overcome over the last year and a half: childhood dysfunction, low self-esteem, anger and impatient issues, and worrying depression. Before Celebrate Recovery, when the pandemic started, I started to see and feel myself changing slowly. I no longer went to church because of the 8 restrictions, became depressed, and became a recluse. I only went out if I absolutely had to. The lie that I carried with me from childhood was inserting itself in my head again. That lie was, I wasn't good enough, smart enough, not worth much, and no one would miss me anyway. Then my worst nightmare happened. I received a text message at 9:45 p.m. on July 22nd that my beloved sister Gatchen had just passed away. I was absolutely shattered. We had plans to party long distance over the phone on her birthday, which was coming up on August the 5th. She was the other half of my heart and was the comic of our family. She died from complications from diabetes and underlying issues in a hospital that was 2 hours away from her family, who weren't allowed to visit because of COVID. I believe in my heart she gave up hope and lost the will to live. Her health deteriorated and she refused to eat. She was no longer responding to treatment and passed away. She would have been 70 years old on August the 5th, and I turned 66 on July 15, 2021. I felt so many emotions. I felt grief, distress, anger, despair, loneliness, and guilt for not being with her when she needed me. Then I went through a time when I wondered and prayed that someone might have ministered to her in her last hours, that she accepted Jesus as her Savior. I needed to know she was saved. This is where I hit a crossroad. What was I to do? I couldn't stop crying. Then I remembered our church was putting on a course on Thursday evening, 7 to 9, and on impulse, I went. I needed help. It happened to be Celebrate Recovery, 8 recovery principles, and I later decided to commit further and register in with the Step Study 12 Steps. I've been coming ever since. I know for sure God was leading me there to comfort me and to tell me that he was with me, to trust him and to follow his lead. The very first night, I was not sure what to expect. I am not sure what anyone else said in our sessions. I cried a lot and shared my grief and fears and my sorrows. Everyone listened and let me talk it out, and they prayed. I started to feel lighter somehow, and I was starting to feel something I seldom felt from others before, love and compassion, and it felt good. As I started to listen to the other members of our group, I realized I wasn't the only one who had issues, not so different than my own. I was not alone. The first thing I learned, I soon realized that if I wanted to do this, it could only be with God's help and my willingness to accept change, and not on my own power, but His. God is the one who can fix me, and that is through Jesus Christ alone. I learned lots about myself, some good and some not so good. I was wearing a mask of denial. I thought I had control of my life. Well, I didn't. Principle one says, realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Even though I have always believed God and Jesus existed, it wasn't in the forefront of my thoughts because I couldn't see Him. I chose to surrender my will and life to Christ's care and control. I am making headway there. It is definitely not easy. I have 66 years of life's hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Because Satan is always near to plant his lies, it will be an ongoing struggle as long as I walk on this earth. I feel great comfort knowing that God has always walked with me without fail, and I now recognize how I am changed for the greater good, this time for God's glory. Amen. I have done a moral inventory, and the Lord has revealed to me who I have wronged and when to make amends. I learned to confess my shortcomings, resentments, and sins, and obey God's directions. I have learned to forgive myself for my wrongs and to accept God's forgiveness. I have made a list of the hurts from others in my past and forgave them and handed it over to God to fix. I also recognize my victories on a weekly basis. Give thanks and share with the group. We share a common bond with each other and the Lord. We are sisters in Christ forever. The sharing love and the sense of belonging has given me confidence in trying other things in our church, like volunteering in the kitchen. I had to get a safe food handling certificate, which gave me great anxiety because I was convinced I wouldn't pass. But not only did I pass, but I passed it 3 times in a row. This success was clearly a blessing from God. I know that God loves me. Who else would sacrifice his son's life for another's sin? Only our Father God. I have also learned that even though I'm advancing in my walk with Jesus, I know that I still have to live in this sinful world of ours where Satan is always at work. But I also know that God will give me the power to rebuke whatever lies Satan has in store for me. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but to transform by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I found this beautiful prayer in Principle 7. Dear God, help me to set aside the hassles and rackets of this world so I can focus my mind and listen to you for just a few minutes. Help me to get to know you better. Help me to better understand your plan and purpose for my life. Father, help me to live this day within the boundaries of today, seeking your will and living this one day as you would have me live it. I pray that others may view me as yours, not just in response to my words, but more important on account of my actions. Thank you for your love, your grace, your perfect forgiveness. Thank you for all those important individuals you placed in my life, in my program, in my recovery, and within my church family. Your will be done, not mine. In your son's name I pray, amen.
I think that sums up CR pretty good. Good job. Oh, thanks, Michelin, for sharing your heart and being vulnerable. And I'm amazed at what God's been doing in your life. And I hear good reports from other people seeing the change in you. And Yeah, you're allowing him to transform you into the image of his son. That's amazing. So what is Celebrate Recovery? So I'll do it in two parts. We'll do just explaining what it is and then a little bit of a personal story as well. So it is a Christ-centered 12-step recovery program for anyone struggling with hurt, pain, or addiction of any kind. Celebrate Recovery is a safe place to find community and freedom from the issues that are controlling our life. Is Celebrate Recovery for you or someone you know? Are you or someone you know struggling with a hurt, habit, or hang-up? Did you or someone you know experience childhood woundings? Were you raised in an alcoholic home, a workaholic home? Were your parents suffering from depression or other mental illness? Do you or someone you know procrastinate? People please, allow others to use you as a doormat. Are you or someone you know struggling with anger, addiction, codependency, food addiction, loving relationship addiction, eating disorder, physical, sexual, and or emotional abuse? Alcohol or drug addiction, sexual addiction, gambling addiction, we can keep going, right? So we invite you to come on Thursday evenings when we offer that large group. So large group is actually here from 7 till 8, followed by an open share small groups, which are gender-based, and it's from 8 till 9. And Connect Cafe is open beforehand. We're in the foyer, 6:30 p.m., and then after the open share at 9 p.m. We're known for smart popcorn. I don't know why. That's our culture. The large group meeting is designed to enter into a time of worship, praise, prayer, and teaching to be in relationship with the one and only higher power, Jesus Christ. The Open Share small group, like I said, is gender-based, provides a safe place to connect with others. So this fall, we have, in October, Life's Healing Choices. So some people have gone through that program before. It's an 8 to 10 week study. Charlotte Hay and Laurel Minnick will be leading. And we're hoping to offer another 25-week ladies' step study. And the men would like more men. We need men. There, you're here. Alan is here. We appreciate Doug and Bill's leadership. They weren't able to be here today. One's working and one had his nephew's wedding yesterday. But we appreciate them. So we do have sign-up sheets registered for if you're interested. There's a resource table in the foyer, so you can sign up there if you like. There are pamphlets there. I've got the one on codependency. Those are free resources, the pamphlets, so you're free to take the one that you think you might have interest in. There's one even called Mixed Issues, so that could cover a whole bunch. And then we also have some resources for sale. So there are some Bibles, some devotionals, and some little inventory booklets. You can peruse that. And so what's the difference? Some people are asking, what's the difference between what we do Thursday night and the 25-step study? Well, they're the same, basically, except on Thursday nights, we don't have time to delve into it as deep as you would in a 25-week study. We would focus, for example, on one question on a Thursday night, whereas in step study, we have a lot of questions to work through. And the one on Thursday night is a drop-in. You don't have to be there every week, whereas your 25-week study, you make a commitment. You're going to be there. Of course, there's some times where you can't make it, so then you just do a makeup lesson with your leader. And we need your prayers. We appreciate your prayers, and we know there are people that aren't coming because of childcare. They would love to come, but they need childcare made available. So if that's something you're interested in, there's also a sign-up sheet for that. We would love to hear from you, and we would make that a paid position as well. So we would need at least two, and you need your plan to protect. And if you don't have it, that's fine. We can make an arrangement to get some training for that. And we also have dreams, because Celebrate Recovery also has a program for children called Celebration Place. And that's an uplifting, hope-filled children's companion to Celebrate Recovery. And there's one for teens, and that one's called The Landing, that helps them to deal with their hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And wow, do our teens have a lot of stuff they're going through right now. So you can talk to Lois, who'll be manning the resource table or floating around in the foyer afterwards if you have questions, or any one of us. And I think, does that cover what I want to say about that part? So I want to say a big thank you, to our leaders. So Doug Bennett, Bill Woolsey, Charlotte Hay, Bonnie Marr, Nancy Sweet, Lisa Chell. They have put in hours of volunteer work. And a huge thank you to Lois Tunkey, who was our team ministry leader. She spearheaded this ministry, and that for 2 to 3 years she did. So we thank you. And this. We also have a lot of volunteers, so I appreciate them, and they help with the setting up and the cleanup for the Connect Cafe, the setting up, takedown of our resource table. Anytime there's readings in our large group, we have some volunteers that do that, so I appreciate all of you. And the sound and media people, and Wendy has helped us out too, so we appreciate that. So this ministry needs a team, and I love our team. So 2 weeks ago, August 14th, I celebrated, okay, you're all sitting down, that's good, 43 years since I asked Jesus to come into my heart. So I had made him Lord of my life. He forgave all my sins. Anyways, so 2 weeks ago, August 14th, I'm reading my Bible in the Gospel of Luke, and his presence was just so real, just so sweet, sweet. How many of you know no money can buy that kind of peace? And if I start crying, I do sense the presence here right now. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. We thank you. Wow. So in the Gospels, we have the good news of the Gospel, that the kingdom of God is at hand and is for everyone. And what I see for Celebrate Recovery, it's about bringing people into relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a safe place where we can heal from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And it's discipleship. So when I'm reading in Luke chapter 5, verse 33 to 39, I was in the Passion Translation, and I'll just read it here for you. So Luke 5, 33 to 39. Jesus' critics questioned him. John the prophet is known for leading his disciples to frequently fast and pray. As the religious leaders of the land, we do the same. Why do you and your disciples spend most of your time feasting at banquets? And Jesus replied, should you make the sons of the bridal chamber fast while celebrating with the bridegroom? But when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then you will see them fasting. Then in verse 36, and he gave them this illustration. No one rips up a new garment to make patches for an old worn out one. If you tear up the new to make a patch for the old, it will not match the old garment. And who pours new wine into an old wineskin? If someone did, the old wineskin would burst and the new wine would be lost. New wine must always be poured into new wineskins. Yet you say the old ways are better and you refuse to even taste the new that I bring. So there's a lot you can unpack in there, but what I want to address is, especially when it talks about the garments and the wineskins, where Christ is our new garment. He clothes us with his righteousness. And we saw that in the testimonies too. And our new wine that is poured into a new wineskin is our new life and divine nature. Many of us today are trying to patch up our old garments with self-righteousness, hoping our old lives can hold the new wine of the Spirit. Why do we do that? Why do we need control? And I'm speaking to myself too. What is the fear? What lies am I believing about God, about myself? As if I can do it better than God. That kind of thinking is a type of insanity. That kind of pride stinks. So I'm constantly seeing that rear its ugly head in my own life, and I'm continually running to Jesus, surrendering to him. I choose to trust my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when I admit I am powerless, I go on to recognize that I need a power greater than myself to restore me. That power is the one and only true higher power, Jesus Christ. The power to change only comes through God's grace. Hebrews 12, 1-3, that's in the NIV I'm reading, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So when I focus on what God can do, my anxiety goes away. So my new pattern is when I feel anxious, I turn. I focus on God. I choose to trust. I rely on him. I turn my eyes on him. I worship him. Natalie sang about that, and her team sang about the King of Kings. I choose to let go of the things I can't control. I choose not to hide from my hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Do I run back to him? Yes. Do I repent of my sins? Yes. Do I ask forgiveness from those that I have hurt? Yes. Does anxiety impact those around me? Yes. Do I ask for Daryl's forgiveness? For my sons, Joa and Jurian, their forgiveness? When I see that the anxiety is having an impact on them? Yes. Are they gracious to extend forgiveness to me? Every time. That is God's grace. I receive his grace. True escape is through access to his power and grace. And when we offer forgiveness to those who have hurt us, we aren't just freeing the other person who harmed us, but we are freeing ourselves. When we try to maintain a false sense of power, we become isolated and cut off. But when we admit we're powerless and start to face reality, we find that we don't have to face life alone. When we accept Christ as our Savior and begin a personal relationship with him, we never have to walk solo again. When we welcome God's presence, we leave no room for pride because he makes us aware of our true selves. What are we waiting for? When I admit I am powerless, I begin to change. I begin to see that my old ways of trying to control my hurts, my habits, my hang-ups never really worked anyway. Over what do I really have control? I realize my human weakness and I turn my life over to God. So going back to Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So first of all, God has a particular race, a unique plan for each of us. A plan of good, not a life consumed with dependencies, addictions, and obsessions. And secondly, this verse shows us that we need to be willing to get rid of all the unnecessary baggage in our lives that keep us stuck. Are you willing? Are you willing to be willing? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The journey begins by taking the first step. Are you ready? So thanks for letting me share. Before we go, I would like to make an invitation. If you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, then pray with me now, right from where you're sitting. So here, let's pray. So dear God, I have tried to do it all by myself on my own power, and I have failed. Today I want to turn my life over to you. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. You are the one and only higher power. I ask that you help me think less about me and my will. I want to daily turn my will over to you, to daily seek your direction and wisdom for my life. Please continue to help me overcome my hurts, hang-ups, and habits, that victory over them may help others as they see your power at work and changing my life. Help me to do your will always. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you prayed this for the first time today, please let someone know, because the angels are rejoicing. And for those that want to surrender a new area in your life today, please come find me in the foyer afterwards, and I will give you your first chip. The most important one. What color is it? Blue one. And the blue reminds us to surrender to Christ only. And come join us on Thursday evenings and begin your journey. Jesus is our chain breaker. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nicole. And I know as the pastor here, the hard work that you do. I love the people that you work with and you counsel and you bring them to the foot of Jesus, which is your focus and your goal. And your heart is to see the Holy Spirit work. And is he working? He is working. He is working. And so that's the beauty of what's happening in our church. And sometimes, you know, it happens all the time, but sometimes we're so busy with other things in our lives that we don't really recognize it. And so it's good that we can recognize what Jesus is doing. Amen? And give him the glory. And so Jesus did say to us, he said, go into all the world. He said, go into Hinton and make disciples. And that's kind of the foundation. You could say that's the foundational setting of all we try to accomplish in our Bible studies, in our small groups, in our services, in CR. It's about discipleship. It's about helping people grow in their faith in Jesus. And so that's what we try to accomplish with our children's ministry. Absolutely. And so what we need is we need people who say, yep, I can help. I can be what Jesus said. Go and make disciples. And we try to baptize as many as we can. And when you get ready to be baptized, let me know. We'll baptize you. Summer, spring, winter, yes, and fall. We baptize in all seasons. And all you need to know is that Jesus has forgiven your sins, and we can work with that and move forward. And he will be with us even to the end of the age, which I think, again, goes back to the passage that God put in my heart for today. Do not fear. I am with you. That's the second time that's happened. And all God's people barked. No, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And do not be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. When you focus on Jesus, as we've heard all of these stories, and when we focus on him, when we lay our troubles at his feet, he lifts us up from the miry clay, and he sets our feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in our hearts, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says, I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous, victorious hand. Do you believe? Do you believe? And that's what it's about. And that's why we have Hinton Alliance Church. And in this next month, September, coming up right away, we're going to celebrate 40 years of being the Hinton Alliance Church. And we're going to do that up as big and as fun as we can. And so prepare for that. Buy tickets for that. We're going to host it in the, we'll have breakfast here on Saturday morning. And we'll have a big dinner in the evening at the community center just down the road. And so we want everybody to participate if you can. If money is an issue, please let us know. We don't want you to miss out just because you can't afford a ticket. What are the cost of the tickets? $15 per adult. and 40 for a family. Okay, so if that's a stumbling block, forget it. It's not a stumbling block anymore. We'll help you out. And I really was impacted by Kaylin's need for that formula. What do you think? I think we can do something about that. What do you think? Can we give and get some of that formula over there? I'll have to ask her afterwards. We're going to take her for lunch after, and I'll ask her, how do we get it to you? And then we'll do something. How about that? Do I get agreement? Amen? Amen. All right, let's do it. Let's do it. All right, so let's close in prayer. Just bow your heads with me for a moment, and we're going to sing, yeah. We're going to sing a final song before we go. Jesus, be the center of our lives. Jesus, be the focus. Jesus, be the healer. Jesus, be the sanctifier, the one that makes us holy.